From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Afternoon Edition.
And right now on the Afternoon Edition, tensions escalating as pro-Palestinian protesters rock major college campuses all across the country. Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Yamamoto. From coast to coast, demonstrations against the war in Gaza has spread to several universities, leading to arrests and concerns over safety. This was the scene at UC Berkeley this morning. Protesters set up tents on the steps of Sproul Plaza, all in the center of campus. Hundreds of protesters held a rally yesterday calling for an immediate ceasefire in the war. They're also demanding the college divest from companies that have ties to the Israeli military. In a statement, UC Berkeley says with 3 weeks left in the semester, Berkeley is prioritizing students' academic interests. We will take the necessary steps to ensure the protests do not disrupt the university's operations. And demonstrations also erupted in Northern California, where police clashed with pro-Palestinian protesters at Cal Poly Humboldt. Similar actions have become a flashpoint at NYU and Columbia University. Meg Oliver has more on the protests and the concerns about the safety of Jewish students on campus.
A chaotic scene at Cal Poly Humboldt in Northern California as police and riot gear clashed with pro-Palestinian protesters. And at New York University last night, the NYPD broke up a pro-Palestinian encampment. The demonstrations have spread to campuses across the country, with pro-Palestinian supporters angry over Israel's war in Gaza, and many Jewish students expressing fear after incidents of anti-Semitism. Like near Columbia University, where some demonstrators chanted anti-Semitic slogans. In one video, a protester can be seen holding a sign near Jewish students that reads Al-Qassam's next targets. Al-Qassam is Hamas's military arm.
Jewish students are petrified to go onto campus.
But many of the pro-Palestinian demonstrators camped out at Columbia insist they reject anti-Semitism and demand the school divest from companies funding Israel.
Many of the people you see here today are Jewish. Anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are two very different things.
The issues that we are trying to address for Jewish students and other students are not about speech, they're about conduct.
Adam Lehman is the president and CEO of Hillel International, the largest Jewish student organization in the world.
Those Jewish students themselves, even though they're young, their family members, in some cases, themselves experienced aspects of the Holocaust. And so when they see these chants, of course, they feel it deeply, and they feel it in a post-traumatic sort of way that we're working so hard to eliminate.
Live look at the White House, where President Biden condemned the anti-Semitic comments directed toward Jewish students, but also added that he condemns anyone who doesn't realize what Palestinians are going through. And the debate isn't limited to college campuses. Google has fired about 20 more employees following last week's sit-in protests at offices in Sunnyvale and in their New York City offices. That brings the total workers let go to nearly 50. Those protestings were demanding the company drop their Google Cloud Project Nimbus contract with the Israeli government. Some employees say many of the fired workers did not even enter the company office during the demonstrations. But in a statement, Google says every single one of those whose employment was terminated was personally and definitely involved in disruptive activity inside our buildings. Well, the people leading the recall efforts against Alameda County District Attorney Pamela Price say the county should have already set a date for a recall election. The group, which calls itself Save Alameda for Everyone, sent a letter to the Board of Supervisors. They claim the county was required to set an election date during the meeting last Tuesday. That meeting was the day after the county registrar's office certified enough signatures to force a special election.
There is not a timeline on life. And waiting till November is not an option. We need her to go right now.
Just yesterday, Price announced her office is reviewing 35 death penalty cases for possible misconduct by prosecutors. She says recently discovered case notes do show that prosecutors may have been intentionally excluding Black and Jewish people from serving on juries.
This is not about left or right or any kind of politics. This is about ethics. And every elected prosecutor has an ethical obligation to ensure that any person who is charged with a crime receives a fair trial.
Rice says the red flag was raised by a federal judge during a review of the 1993 conviction of Ernest Dykes. The judge ordered Price to review a dozen cases, but she says her office's investigation has grown to 35, and she says more cases could be added. And the last survivor from the USS Arizona during the Pearl Harbor attack was laid to rest today. Lou Conter received a military flyover and a 21-gun salute. His funeral was held in Grass Valley at St. Patrick's Church. His casket arrived this morning and was brought into the church by members of the military. Conter died earlier this month at the age of 102. He was a quartermaster on the USS Arizona when it was struck in the surprise attack by the Imperial Japanese Navy. Nearly 1,200 crew members were killed. Conter was able to save a number of others, but he was one of only 334 survivors.
He's told me before December 7th, 1941, was just one day in a four-year war. But I'm more proud of what he did after.
Yeah, Conter would go on to earn his wings, flying 200 combat missions, including in the Korean War. He even survived being shot down twice. He reached the rank of lieutenant commander and even created survival training skills still used for Navy pilots today. Meantime, tributes continue to pour in for a Bay Area legend, Reverend Cecil Williams. The longtime pastor and social activist died yesterday at the age of 94. Williams was known for his compassion and support to his community in San Francisco's Tenderloin. He was instrumental in turning Glide Memorial Church into a name heard all around the world. Our Lauren Toms went to Glide Memorial to talk to his friends and admirers about the legacy he leaves behind.
Two rows back and facing the pulpit will always be where Reverend Cecil Williams sat every Sunday for church. As recently as Easter Sunday, he would rejoice with his congregation to tunes led by Dennis Hersey, who arrived at Glide Memorial 22 years ago.
I walked into the church for the first time on an Easter Sunday. I think that I was came to the right place at the right time to get what I didn't even realize that I needed at that time.
Dennis smiles when he thinks of Williams even hours after his passing.
I think that's the thing when I think of him. I think of light, I think of love, I think of support, generosity. I mean, I can just go on and on.
It's a sign of the unconditional love the Reverend offered, a signature of his that defined the impact of Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco as a house to be welcomed.
You could come in drunk or high. You can come in the height of your white privilege. You can come in as a single mother. You can eat a meal and come upstairs. It mattered not.
Reverend Marvin White has been learning in the shadow of Reverend Williams, poised to lead the community from the Reverend's legacy that he says helped guide him and others for years to come.
I went to him and I said, Cecil, they want me to fill your shoes. And he absolved me from that responsibility. He said, I need for you to be you, you know, and to understand that where you take it is where we're supposed to go.
The legacy of Reverend Cecil Williams cemented inside Glide Memorial and forever on the streets he served.
Glide is still working on details for a public memorial. For more on the life of Reverend Williams, just head to our website at kpix.com.